This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
99.9 KISW. We return to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
You guys ever accidentally left a cup of coffee on top of your car or anything like that?
Yeah. I've definitely done it with coffee.
I left the phone on my bumper of my back car, get into the back, put my phone down. Fortunately, that car was the Xterra that had that rubber kind of top on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I drove to work with my phone on the back of my car and found my phone when I got out.
That's pretty impressive.
Same thing. Yeah. I left a tool on the back bumper of my dad's truck, and it's the same thing. It had that kind of ridging that was back there. The thing held on the entire doggone way until you go to the back of the truck. It's like, oh, damn.
We left the kid, our oldest.
On the back bumper.
On top of the car, man.
On top of the car.
Well, you're carrying it like that basket thing with the infant. So we put that on top of the car, and we're loading all this other crap, like groceries or something. Get in the car, close the doors, and I'm like, I think our daughter's still up top. Sure enough, like, oop, let me go ahead and grab that and put her in the car.
Yeah. Well, this is not as bad as
left
that.
Left my phone, left the tool. Left a kid.
Left my child on top of the car.
How small is your child? She fits on the bumper.
And that's actually a problem for new parents. When my sister was pregnant with my nephew, she was reading all kinds of things about how that's actually an issue where parents, when they go to the grocery store or they go out somewhere, they'll forget the kid in the back, right? But she says, I don't have a problem with that. I can fathom that. You know, it's just force of habit. But then they put in there, like, make sure, you know, if you want to help increase your awareness of your kid being back there, put something important back there, like your phone or like your groceries or something.
Something important.
Like, maybe your kid?
Your kid does not qualify as important. Put something important with your child so you can remember your child's in the car.
Like your keys. Jeez. A guy in Australia is in the doghouse after he left his fiance's $2,000 wedding dress on top of their SUV and drove off. This happened on Sunday. They're picking it up at their storage unit. He tossed it on the roof to put it in last so it didn't get crushed by the other boxes. Then he forgot about it and merged onto a major highway. Dress was in a box, so it might be okay. Last we heard, they had not found the box yet. They walked down the side of the highway. It was not there. The bride's name is Lyndal Kane, and her fiancé is Tom. She posted about it on Facebook and said Tom, quote, stupidly left the package on the roof. They're offering a $500 reward to anybody who turns in the dress. Good news, they are still getting married. She said he's really upset, and she joked it'll at least make for a very good speech at the wedding. Plus, they still have time to replace it if they need to. They're not getting married until next February. But either way, this is still, not something you want to be held responsible for.
No, like I said, I'd rather deal with the mountain lion.
Oh, no. Yes.
Like, honestly, like the mountain lion, I'm going to fight for my life. It's not a situation I want to be in. But when the conflict with the mountain lion is done, it is done. If you lose your wife's wedding dress, like this, as long as you are together, this is going to be an issue.
And not only that, but man, it's $2,000. You're getting married. You don't have money yet.
Right.
You've saved up money for a ring and all these things. And then, like in my situation,
I didn't get any financial assistance from either one of the parents.
That's how we did it, because it buys influence.
So $2,000, I kept my mouth shut on what things cost, because I was taken aback by the price.
Oh, yeah.
I just couldn't.
I was about to go off on the price of that dress, so I quickly Googled average price of a wedding dress. Turns out that's dead average.
No, that is.
$2,000, right?
Which,
yeah,
because mind-boggling.
It's a right. wedding dress. That's the problem. Like, if you buy flowers and tell the florist that it's for a wedding, somehow they cost more than if it's just because it's my anniversary.
Yeah.
A wedding dress, it's a dress, and you're only going to wear one time.
Right.
And you...
So all the guy does,
don't say anything.
All the guy does is try to do everything he can in his pie to make things affordable for him. I am renting a $125 tux. My wedding ring band will be $100 because I know what yours cost.
Right.
We don't need to be spending any more money on rings or dresses or
right.
Why don't you buy a tuxedo? No,
no,
I'll never wear one. You know, and by the time you buy one, guess what? Believe it or not, tuxedos go out of style too,
real quick.
As far as the cut and everything that's fashionable at the time, so that's why they. I just $2,000, man. At that point in time, your life is like hell no.
Tuxedos, they do, but at the end of the day, you have the classic black tuxedo. Black,
yep, just
and I'm only saying that because I was in so many weddings. I should have just bought one.
You should have.
But the other problem is too is that everybody's wedding's different,
right? And if you're in the wedding.
Right, so like some people, right, they have right. to match, they're different colors, right? Yours, we bought suits, which was fine.
You can never go wrong with a black suit.
Well, that was my wife's theory was, she goes, look, make the guys get suits. I'm like, why can't we just rent? She goes, because I know none of you clowns have suits, so if they get suits for the wedding, then you will have a suit for court dates, whatever the hell else you got to wear for. I'm like, all right, and I wore that damn suit out, man.
What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
I wore it to other weddings I was not in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, that was my wife's whole thing. Like, don't rent a tux. You're not going to wear it. Just get everyone a suit. I'm like, you know as well. Hello, Dell. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gents.
Hola.
Man, this was back in the late 80s. I was 16 years old. My dad was very frugal, and he bought a ex-Minnesota State Patrol car.
All right.
It was a 83 or 84 Crown Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They had the four headlights in the front. Two were high beams, two were low beams. My grandma, she pretty much gave the car to me to go, you know, drive around with my buddies and such. And I borrowed it up one night. And one of my friends was pretty good with wiring, figured out that a couple of wires under the dash went to what they called a wig-wag, where the outer lights would flash and the inner lights would flash. The outer lights would flash. So we'd fly down some of these highways in Minnesota, and we'd turn those things on. We'd be doing 80, 90 miles an hour. People would be pulling over from oncoming and in front of us. And we were by Brainerd, Minnesota, and I came flying up behind this one car, and it pulled over just like, you know, everybody was supposed to. And then it got behind us, and it followed us all the way back into the next town. And I had three or four Crosby, Minnesota Police Department pull us over. I pulled a cop over.
Oh, no. Well,
this was well before cell phones and strobe lights, you know, and he had his radio with him, and he called ahead and told Crosby Police Department that there was a car coming in there that with a bunch of kids in it that pulled him over with wig-wag headlamps.
And what is the punishment for that?
Well, I'll have to go to jail for the night at 17 years old, 16, 17 years old. And then, of course, they could have thrown anything in the book at me, you know, impersonating an officer or whatever. But the worst thing they did was they called my dad.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've never had an ass beaten like that in my entire life.
As basically, you know, close to being an adult, too.
That was bad, you know, and then all my buddies, of course, they were stuck on the side of the road somewhere, and the car got impounded, and they had to have the sheriff call there, or the city police call their parents and tell them to come pick them up. So, yeah, I was hated by, you know, three of my buddies' parents.
Yeah, it's always
a bad feeling. Did you lose the car based on that?
No, they just took it for the night. My dad had to bail it out of the tow yard, but he had to pay a lot of money to have all that extra stuff taken off of the car that they didn't. You know, the only thing they used to take out of the cars back then were the radios and the lights on top.
Did you have a spot on the side on the driver's door?
Oh, yeah. Both sides.
Okay.
Both sides. Well, either one of those worked. We didn't plug those in, but he figured out how to plug in the wigwag lights in the front.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if you remember this, but at that point in time in life, you would get spooked anytime you saw a Crown Vic on the road.
Absolutely.
Because just in your mind, that's a cop. You knew the lights. You knew everything. That was the universal vehicle. So
without a doubt.
I still get kind of spooked when I see them.
Yeah, there was a...
Because like, it almost drives.
Even though with the Mercury Grand Marquis or whatever the equivalent was.
There was a couple of... Right, because a lot of people in my family drove Mercurys, right?
Yeah.
Because my mom's cousin, somebody, Bobby, worked for a Mercury dealership.
Okay.
So we all drove them because you got a cheaper deal. But right, my cousin John had one that looked like a cop car. And he used to do that all the time, man. If we knew we were behind somebody in our neighborhood, he'd start flashing lights and people would pull over.
Oh, yeah.
What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
Okay, so I sold a different story to your dude on the phone there, but as I was waiting, another one occurred to me. Basically, the morning after my 21st birthday, I come to, and as the haze parts, you know, I'm kind of beginning to understand my environment, and I realize I'm on my parents' couch upstairs in their house. And it's like late morning, and then I realize I'm butt naked and I'm under a throw blanket, right? Which is never good because it means that somebody else already draped it over me. So I was just splayed out for my entire family to see when they saw me that morning, and they just left me sleeping. But apparently what comes back to me is my mission for my 21st birthday, which was to do 21 and 21.
Of course.
And as I'm hitting 18, I think we were on our third bar. We'd been 86 from two. We were headed to the fourth. And I'm telling them, like, hey, I'm three shots away from hitting 21. Like, we're doing this. And my girlfriend's driving the truck. My partner's riding shotgun. I'm in the back, you know, extended cab. And they refused to allow me to continue this mission of having 21 shots on my 21st birthday. Because they had seen what had developed at these previous bars, and it was just going downhill fast. Well, before they can do anything, they stop at a stoplight, and I slide open the back window in this old 89 Ford, right? It's got that slider window in the rear.
Yeah.
And I slide my narrow behind right through that thing faster than they could even see. And like a blur, I'm bolting down the side of the road to the closest sampan. So that I can get a couple of double shots and put a bell on this thing. So I remember walking into the bar. I remember seeing a familiar face. And then I remember ordering the shots. It was JD. It was a double of Tarantula and then a double of 151 to put a cap on it.
God.
And I don't remember anything after that. I don't remember walking out of that bar. The next thing I know, I'm waking up naked on my parents' couch.
Did anyone help you? Did anyone help you fill in the blanks from your parents to the people at the bar?
So my parents were gone on a vacation with my siblings. I had three younger siblings, and they were gone at like Ocean Shores or something, or they were leaving that morning, right? So I'm wandering around, wondering like, where's my wallet? Where's my pants? Like, these are questions that usually I'm not having to answer in the morning. So as I'm gathering myself and trying to get my mind, my thoughts collected, I wrap the throw around myself and I start doing a walk around the house. Nothing revealed. So I extend the search to the front yard. And lo and behold, in the far corner of the yard, there's my urine-soaked pants. And I'm not curious to worry about how that happened, right? Nobody needs to fill in the blanks on that one. But when I did finally see the scowl on my girlfriend's face a little later that afternoon, she and my buddy filled me in, and essentially my brother had to go down to the bar to get me out of there, and they got me back to my parents' house, and I just started freaking out. Like, I was, like, growling or, like, running around the outside of the house, making animal noises, completely blacked out drunk, just unleashed, like, no control, no composure. And, yeah, just complete embarrassment.
Well, that's...
I mean, it's a 21 run. I mean, look, I can only tell you from my own taste. Like, there's things I did in bars in my early 20s that I regret. And even thinking about them now, I'm like, how did I not get beat up?
Man, I'm right. It's easy even going through that. You know, you start going back to those times, and I'm like, I'm right there with you. Like, either being shot, getting the S beat out of me, or at least getting thrown out of the bar. It did not happen as much as it really should have. I would have thrown me out of most. If I owned any of the bars I used to go to in my 20s, I would have banned me from coming in.
Because there's some bars you go to, especially like I like sports bars, right?
Yeah.
And in tournament time or in the fall when you're watching college football, like a lot of sports bars, it's a wide range of people.
For sure.
So like one day I'm in this bar and it is packed, right? Now these guys are in their early 20s. They've been in there all day, right? You know what? I'll just say it. It was Ohio State fans. Their team had clearly played at 9 a.m. They're hammered. And one guy has a dip in, and he's just spitting on the floor.
Oh,
now, you can tell he's blacked out, right? So me and my buddy are getting pretty annoyed because he's kind of close to us. And I knew one of the bartenders, and he was just so cool getting him out of there. And I was like, how are you that cool about it? And he's like, dude, I know you. Because I didn't know you back then, but I know you probably did some stuff just this. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Because it's easier at our age to look back and go, what's wrong? It's like,
what are these kids doing? Like, they're what we did.
Right. The guy has no idea what he's doing.
Here's the one that I get that people will tell the story of. I don't remember it all the way, but it was one of those. It was a $20 bet.
All right.
So this bet was, we had all four of my roommates. We're at a place called DJ's, Dr. John's.
Dr. John's.
College bar?
Dr. John's.
Already at DJ's.
He had this place had buckets of kamikazes with a ladle, and then they give you plastic cups and stuff.
Yeah, I like
it. It's one of these places.
If you're over 25, right. You're not welcome here.
Well, or you're a creep.
Now, you got to remember, this is like 1988, 1989-ish. A Cocktail is still a very popular movie.
Yeah.
And the people that are behind the bar are learning.
Are they doing all the tricks?
They're doing all their flair. This is all part of the show to impress, you know, the 19-year-old.
It's called DJs.
Because they're also probably 19, 20-year-old bartender, whatever the deal was. But the one dude, man, he had this trick where matches on the bar, you could smoke in the bar and all that stuff. And this was my buddy's, Chad's idea. Yeah, he used to, if he saw a woman at the bar who's about to light her match, he would pick up a pack of matches, and within 2 seconds, he'd flick that thing down the bar, and it would light along the way, and it would land right in front of her, and then she'd light her cigarette.
That's a famous scene from Cocktail.
Well, he could do it. Yeah. I mean, he could do it like snapping his fingers and shooting it down the bar. So Chad goes, this guy's name was Bill, and he says, all right, Bill, here's what we're going to do, man. He said, we're all going to put our penises on the bar, okay? And
that's what we're gonna do.
And you flick the matches down the bar. All right. And the person that can keep their penis on the bar without moving or jumping back wins $20.
All right.
So at this moment, though, the woman who owned, and she was a grandmother who owned DJs, like her son was like the general manager who was never there.
Sure.
She walks in with two of her friends. We all have our D's out on the bar. And then the match goes flying, and my buddy Pat jumps back because it's headed his way. Now it's headed to the next. Yeah. I'm third in line. I basically kept it on the bar, but the matchbook stopped like 2 inches away from my D. And so me and my buddy at the other end split because we both had our penises on the bar. And the woman walked in and tapped us all on the shoulder and said, you will never drink here again.
Oh, damn.
You will never
drink. Did she 86 for good?
You will never drink here again. And that was the bar that we could get. That was our bar that we could get into underage.
All you had to do was not put your penis on the bar.
And what time of day was
she
this?
She never was there. She was never there.
Okay, what time of day was it?
This was 9 o'clock in the night.
All right, so I could see where you didn't expect her to walk in.
No,
but I like that's the justification. Oh, we didn't think you'd be here.
Look. I didn't even know who she was.
Oh, really?
She said, you're never coming in this bar again. I'm like, who are you? And Bill goes, that's the owner. And I was like, well, I thought, you know.
I could relate.
I thought Doug was the owner. No, that's her son.
It was that quick. She just came in.
Oh, yeah. And I went to a high school with a bouncer who was 2 or 3 years older than me. Ty, no. No.
Really?
I heard what you guys did. The timing was awful. No, you can never come in this bar again. So anytime, and everybody went there. They had Long Island Iced Tea nights.
Right.
Every night was a different theme. You know, you could get like 50 cent hot dogs in this place. Quarter hot dog night or whatever that. They had 50 cent draft and 50 cent hot dog night. Or whatever.
But you can't go anymore.
We ate there. We drank there. That was the spot. No, we were all gone, man. And all our buddies go, hey, man, you want to go down to DJ? And they would all be in DJs. And we'd have to walk by because it was the first row of the bar and the row of bars we go down. And so we got to get down to this place. It just sucked. right, and drink there at the dungeon for the rest of our underage
years.
Had to go to the dungeon.
Can't get...
What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Somebody says, not that easy to do thrill. What are you talking about? Yelling at the owner of the bar without realizing it's the owner?
I didn't yell at the owner. I just said, I didn't know who it was.
Right.
I was just like, who are you? Why are you telling me I'm, you know...
Well, and when you have bars like that, right? Because I worked at it. That's actually, they finally tore it down. Town Hall, RIP.
Did they tear it down?
They did. I know. They kept that thing for years. I was shocked. But the owner, Ron, he was only there really during the day. But he, I don't know how to explain it. He had a photographic memory. Like, if he decided somebody was kicked out, and there, because same thing, there was like, you know, you had the locals that would come in earlier, and then you'd have some college kids at night. But there was a couple of them. One guy just pissed him off one day. And I mean, same thing, for years. Now imagine you're a 40-year-old adult.
And you still can't go in.
Right. I mean, that guy was never allowed back in there. And all his friends drank there.
Oh, damn.
Like, especially on Saturday afternoons in the summer. It's just people that live in the neighborhood. That guy was never allowed in. And, like, if you were a bartender and you let him in there, Ron would fire you.
Yeah,
damn. But, like, yeah, bar, like, especially bars like that where it's already like a college bar, it's already a little loose. But if they're done with you, they're done.
I'll tell you what. Another thing, as far as West Virginia bars go, there's two things that always exist in the bar, and that is the fact that at 2 o'clock or at 1:55, they play Country Roads, from John Denver, and that means it's time to go home. Every bar has a wall of shame behind the cash register. It is front and center.
Right.
All the names of all the people and the reasons. On tabs, why they're not allowed to drink there anymore. And it, written in Sharpie, written in pen.
Right.
It's like, it's the wall of shame. And I mean, a lot of the bars had the same names, same people. Either they didn't pay their tab, they owed money.
It's changed, but years ago when I was drinking in West Virginia, at that basketball camp, we'd go across the river. When that song came on too, like, you knew. Either chug it now or the guys could
lose
it.
That's it.
Yep, but like, they gave you a buffer.
Yeah, they did. Like, 4-minute song.
Yeah.
What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Who Sucks Last coming up right after emails on our question, what was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Anthony. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So I got a quick story. I'm going to try my best not to incriminate myself. I got out of the military a couple years ago. And less than a decade ago, I drove my Jaguar underneath a steel fence into one of the motor pools. So the story was, I was racing one of my buddies on one of the back roads. And I went underneath the fence because I thought I could drift on some gravel. Can't drift. It was a convertible at the time. Scratched up all of the paint. But the kicker was, the roof was down. I walked away with just a scratch on my bicep. And the reason why the car had to get totaled was because I didn't put the cover on the actual convertible part.
Huh. That was a tank, dude. That car was long, large. We had a buddy we worked with, TJ in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had one of those. He'd take it to the beach all the time and cruise for chicks. And, yeah, I mean, the car was a beautiful car, but that thing was a tank.
Yes, it was.
I think it has a lot to do with the car you were driving. Even though if you'd have rolled the car, flipped the car, if you didn't get thrown, that thing's going to land on you.
That's a problem. So what did you tell the military when they asked what happened?
Oh, I threw the top back up. I put my car cover over it and parked it in another barracks parking lot so that they couldn't find the car.
Okay.
So they actually had to put standing guard on the motor pool while I was still there.
And they never figured out it was you?
They never figured out it was me. I told everybody that I got run off the road by a drunk driver.
Okay.
All right.
Man after my own heart.
Damn. What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Connor. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Yeah, so this was about in fifth or sixth grade. At the time, I was a really good ice hockey player, and I played in a team with a team in Pennsylvania, and we were real good. We went to, you know, Ohio, New Jersey, and we played in tournaments, and we won a lot. And we went to this one tournament in New York, and we won, and the stipulation was the winner got to go to Canada to play the Canadian kids our age. So we're all juiced up, and we're all super excited. And so we go up to Canada, and we're warming up on the ice, and the other team hadn't come out yet. And we're all super excited, like I said, and the other team comes out. And like I said, we're in fifth and sixth grade, and I'm like, are we playing high schoolers? We're all like, oh no. And the puck drops, and I don't know if you've seen Talladega Nights, but the scene where Ricky Bobby goes, are those the other drivers? That's how I felt when they started skating around me.
Were they just bigger than you guys, but the same age?
They were the same age. They were bigger, faster. And that was the first game, and we lost like, and we're good. We lost like 9-1.
Damn.
We didn't win a single game.
Oh, you're in Canada playing hockey, man.
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty strong. I mean, at least you got there.
Yeah, it was like, I imagine like when you take a kid who plays soccer in the U.S. and you bring them to Brazil, that's how it felt.
They're going to get smoked.
It's funny you say that.
Because you base everything on high. So my kid right now is playing volleyball, right? He did basketball, then soccer, so now they're in volleyball season. And a couple of weeks ago, you know, they're warming up, and just like he said, the other team rolled in, and even his parents were like, are these kids in sixth grade? And if they are actually in sixth grade, did they fail four times? I mean, And you get to see all of the kids on my son's team just staring at these guys when they walk in. These guys were massive. Luckily, son's team won that game, but they were already like down on their luck.
Right.
As soon as they saw you're not playing football.
Same with
you're
football.
Volleyball.
Even when you warm up, there are certain teams that are huge. You know they've got four D1 guys.
Right.
Because that's all you read in the newspaper. These guys, he's going to Florida State. He's going here, whatever.
Of course.
But it's another thing to look across the field and go, oh, man, they got like 6'2 linebackers.
Right.
that guy's like 185.
I remember playing Little League, like Babe Ruth ball.
Yeah.
We played Bowie, and they had a kid on their team that was just a monster. Same thing. Like, I think our coach might have even like been like, hey, is that kid, you know, 12 or 13? Like, yeah. And then a year later, I get to the Matha, and I see that guy in the hallway, and I'm like, there he is. He ends up playing football at Alabama.
Oh,
but just at our age, I mean, he's still a massive dude, but like you're at that age, I mean, we beat the team, but he hit a ball farther than we had ever seen.
Right.
And it's just, yeah, some kids are just massive.
Just big dudes.
What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Here, one second, sorry.
Oh, no worries. We got time.
There we go. That's better. Are you there?
Yep, we're here.
Yeah, we're just waiting for you.
Okay, sorry about that. So, I've talked to you guys before. I learned to make money at a young age off of B-12. So this is in 88. I'm going to college. The summer's over. In my room, I have a bunch of empty seals of paper. Didn't want to throw them in the garbage can so my parents would find them. So I throw it in my pocket of my jacket. And so I kind of forget they're there. So I go off to college. My parents, they give me tuition money, and I have 2 weeks to pay the tuition, so I turn that into an ounce and get some B12 and going to make some extra money. So this is like the first night we're back. School hasn't even started yet. I've been partying all night long. Get in a fight with my girlfriend, and she or her roommate calls the campus police, and they show up, and they ask me to leave. And so we go outside, and they're chatting with me, and they want to see my ID. And so I go to get my ID out, and when I get into my jacket, all those pieces of paper fall on the ground right in front of them.
Ooh.
And I got, and I'm like, oh, no. Well, there's a bunch of small ones, and then there's one big one. And usually you lick them all, so I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be okay. There's nothing going to be on it. And they open them up, and I don't see anything. And, you know, they're doing it right in front of their headlamp. And then, sure enough, the big one, they open it up, and I see little flicks in the air. And I went, oh, no. So, yeah.
Do you get arrested?
Yeah, they take me down to the campus police. And I'm sure, at that point, I'm not sure what's going to happen yet. So I actually have a little film vial and with three quarters of it in there in my pocket. Well, it's down in my crotch at this point. And they take me into there, and then they come back and they tell me after like an hour that they tested it and it came back for traces of cocaine, and I'm going to county jail. And I'm so, yeah, I got arrested.
How long did you stay in there?
So I end up hiding the stuff that was with me, on me, in the campus police station, and leave it there. And I'm, because I think when I get to county, they're going to search me and stuff. And sure enough, it's Friday night. They get me to county. They don't search me. I'm there till Monday. Saturday, I have my mom come and talk through me, you know, through a glass window with me in an orange suit, you know, crying. You know, it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Did you ever? Did you finish school?
So I get kicked out of school, and so I had all that stuff still back in my room. It was like my tuition money. I tell my girlfriend, please go get that out of my room. I'm afraid they're going to search my room. So she does that, and then I talk to her another day, and she goes, I said, well, I need to get that from you. She goes, oh, I flushed that. And she's like, what? That was my tuition money.
Hey, am I missing something? Is B12 code for something else?
It's white powder that you cut it with.
Oh, so you're cutting
B12.
You're cutting
B12. Yeah, so I would get a bunch, and then I'd double it up and then make, you know.
All right, sorry. I was just lost there for a minute.
Okay.
But B12 is just a vitamin.
Yeah, exactly. Because most people use, baby powder, all that kind of
aspirin.
Crap. Yeah.
What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
You can always tell when it's aspirin, am I right?
And it goes away.
You can taste it.
Yeah, you kind of can. That's what I've heard. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Okay, so this was back in 2020 when we had all the fires and all the smoke, right?
Yeah.
So me and my girlfriend, we're in our room, and it's getting kind of hot and heavy when all of a sudden I start hearing pops and bangs from outside. And I'm like, what is that? And then I'm smelling something different from the normal average smoke that we've been smelling that entire year. So I'm like, this is odd. And, you know, so I'm trying to get up to leave and go check out what this sound is. My girlfriend, of course, she's like, no, you finished what you started, right? So I end up like, no, babe, I really got to check this out. And so I run outside and I see a bunch of smoke coming up from behind our trailer. And I step back there and there is a 6-foot blaze of just flames going in all this trash that was behind this trailer.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so immediately I run back into the house, and I'm like, do we have a fire extinguisher or anything? And, you know, they're like, no, we don't. And I'm like, we probably have one because there's a fire outside. So my girlfriend also just recently got out of surgery. She's not even supposed to be lifting anything. She's running out there trying to grab buckets of water, and I'm like, no, you can't be doing that. So and she's filling up the buckets as me and my buddy are running back and forth trying to put this fire out. Of course, we called 911 and all the fires that at that time. The emergency services weren't quick to respond because they were responding to other fires and whatnot.
Right.
And, yeah, it was just a crazy event. We had a bunch of our neighbors come out, start looking around. Finally, the fire department came, but we already basically had it out. They just saturated it to make sure that it didn't start back up again.
Well, at least the trailer didn't burn down.
How long did it take you guys to put out the fire?
Probably in the neighborhood of 15, 20 minutes. It was quite a substantial fire, and there was, like, paint cans in there and a bunch of other stuff, and that's what I was hearing pop was the paint cans. From
all right.
Do you guys have any idea what ignited the fire?
Actually, yes. The fire department kind of did a small investigation, and it was an empty picture frame bouncing off of a mirror into the center of all this trash caused the ignition source for the fire.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look, I told you guys, man, I had just a plastic regular toothbrush.
Right.
Wife at the time had a makeup mirror. We had a skylight in the bathroom of the home. And the way that that light hit that mirror went right across to the other sink and basically kind of put a brown, meldy stain on the side of my sink.
Jesus.
That I could never get out. It was actively trying to catch my toothbrush on fire.
Did you upgrade the toothbrush or move?
And I realized at that time, like that makeup mirror, the way it's just the way it's angled or whatever the deal is, it just forms a straight shot like a laser, man. And I was like, dude, I don't feel safe having that thing in the bathroom.
It's a makeup mirror.
I'm serious. Like, it's crazy. What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jim. Welcome to the men's room.
This is Big Jim. Hola.
Hola.
So, many, many years ago, having fake ID, there was a tavern in Tacoma that was accepting all these little fake IDs that many, many, many of us had. And we're having a libation this one particular evening. And in the front door comes four or five cops. And we're like, uh-oh. And we knew there was a back door out to the alley. And so we said, let's go out. And then we turned that way. And there's another four or five more cops. So we're like, this isn't good. So one thing led to another. They started taking us out in groupfuls, throwing us in cars, throwing us into paddy wagons. At the end of the bus, there was 52 of us.
52.
52 minors got arrested that particular night. And
just from that one bar?
From that one bar, because they started taking anybody that had a driver license that said adult on it. As long as it said adult, you were in.
I mean, if you're sending cops in a paddy wagon, like, everybody knows.
Right.
That's an underage bar.
Yeah. We're going downtown. So then, to kind of top this all off, we had a court date with all of us. And one, you know, everybody's there with their parents and all that. And this one guy, you know, the little swinging gate when they call you up to talk to the judge?
Yeah.
Between where you sit. Well, he kicks it with his foot and then steps through real quick and it goes, wah, 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 wah. And the whole place goes, ah. And the judge hit the gavel a few times and said, any more outbursts like that, then this everybody in this court is guilty.
Damn.
We had no more to say.
Yeah, I bet you did.
So what ended up happening to you?
Well, you know, we all got warnings and all that good stuff, but you had to spend many hours, you know, waiting to get bailed out, and that just took forever. Then, of course, everybody's parents know that everybody's kids were in all this trouble, and so not really bad, but yeah. It
was, bad enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's last
thing you want to go through. What was the moment you knew this is not good? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Audra. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hola.
Hey, so this actually happened like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I went to Atlanta to visit some friends and family, had a rental car while I was there, and when it came time to fly home, I drove an hour and a half from my cousin's house, you know, down to the airport, and about halfway there, I stopped at a gas station. This is at about four in the morning. Trying to catch my flight. I stop at a gas station to refill the car so I don't get a fee. And, you know, I drive a 2002 Toyota, so there's no bells or whistles or automatic anything really in there. And I was driving a 2015 Chevy. So I pull into the gas station. I leave the key in the ignition. And I look and make sure that the door is unlocked. I get out, go to fill up my car, shut the door, come back to get back in, and the door's locked. And I'm in the middle of a town. I have no idea where I'm at. You know, I'm the only person at this gas station. And I'm like, what am I going to do? My flight's in like 2.5 hours. So I'm stressing about that. And luckily for me, I noticed that there was a truck driver who had just delivered the gas, and he was still sitting in his truck right behind me. So I ran up, you know, and I'm trying to see if he can call a locksmith or anything for me. He ended up calling a couple locksmiths. He ended up having to go, you know, because he's on a schedule.
Right.
And so I was like, well, you know, if they call you back, because they both, you know, said that they had to call out and find people and they would call them back. And I was like, please, if they call you back while you're on the road, just tell them I'm still here because I have nowhere else to call. You know, my phone was locked in the car, my wallet, my jacket. And it's 43 degrees. I'm in a t-shirt just kind of pacing this gas station. Damn. So I ended up being out there for 2.5 hours before I saw some guys across the street at a Burger King unloading supplies. Went over there and I was just like, I'm so sorry. Can you please help me? Just call these locksmiths, see if they're still coming. They call them. It turns out they had tried to call the guy back. He didn't answer, so they didn't send anyone. So they go inside the Burger King. They come out with a Slim Jim and they're like, all right, let's see if we can break into this for you, which is great. The second guy that was there ended up being able to do it. So, you know, I'm all happy. I get in the car. By this point, it's 7, which was when my flight was supposed to leave, and I'm still an hour from the airport. So long story short, I get the rental extended. You know, I'm go back to my cousin's house. I can't get on another flight until 5 p.m. that night. The worst thing, too, is I had decided to splurge and buy myself a first-class ticket.
Oh, so you ain't done.
Missed out on that. The only seat that they had left that day was a middle seat in the very last row of the plane. And then on that flight, you know, I finally get there. I'm on the flight. The guy next to me is, like, going into the bathroom, obviously doing drugs for, like, the whole flight.
Oh, God.
That was kind of weird. And then I landed in SeaTac. We landed in the N terminal, which is that satellite terminal.
Yeah, I hate that.
It's terrible.
And I'm waiting for the train. The train pulls up, you know, to take you to baggage. Yeah. And half the doors on the train don't open. And the people inside.
I read about this. The whole SeaTac was just kind of shut down on those gates for hours, right?
Oh, it was insane. It took me 3.5 hours.
To get out of the gate.
Oh my God.
They could not get the train and there's no way back. That's it.
No. And it was insane. I mean, I've never seen an airport terminal that packed because, you know, it's people still landing. It's people trying to catch other connecting flights, get their baggage. Like, people just kept piling up. And of course, there's like no communication. We don't know where we're supposed to be going. We're all kind of waiting, and like this crowd just never moves.
Audra, so that's awful. I'm angry for you.
Yeah, Audra, where did you fly? Where did you fly from?
From Atlanta.
Okay, you have a long ass 6-hour flight.
Oh my God!
You're sitting in the middle seat in the back next to a druggie because you locked your damn keys, and the car locked itself with your keys inside, and then you finally land. I got to think you're like, thank God. Yeah. In the home stretch, I just want to go home and forget this day. And it's like, well, hey, not yet.
Mm-hmm. And I've been up since 3 a.m. Eastern.
What do you speculate this guy's doing? Cocaine in the bathroom? Was that how he's acting?
You know, I don't know what he was doing. I'm not too familiar with, you know, the effects of drugs. I just smoke pot and drink booze. That's about it. So, you know, he seemed very mild-mannered when he got in. And then every time he would go to the bathroom, he'd come back and just be, like, super agitated, and, like, moving really quickly. Like, seemed really frustrated and then just, you know, like, really restless. And then he would kind of calm down, go in the bathroom, and then come back out all popped up again. So.
Okay. Could be a couple things.
Well, real quick before you go, why were you in Atlanta?
Family.
Yeah, family and friends. So I was actually going to help out my great aunt. Her husband had just passed away a few months before, so.
Good God.
Unpunished, right?
I mean, I've had some bad flights and trips. That sounds worse.
I read that story when it came out, and I thought, that is a nightmare.
It is. I mean, it already sucks when you land in
because
the end gate.
It's even hard enough to get a bar seat on the one bar that they have in the end gate. Like, and all the restaurants are packed. There's really just nothing for you to...
No, you just got to stand there and wait.
Who Sucks Less is on the way, and we've got your emails coming up next from the Men's Room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.